Over the past few weeks on the Health Report, we've been bringing you a special series on substance use. Today we cover an issue that causes angst for a lot of parents, how to protect kids from experimenting with and misusing alcohol and drugs. Parents often feel helpless in the face of media and peer pressure, but maybe they shouldn't feel that way. They make more of a difference than they might imagine. Associate Professor Nicola Newton is the Director of Prevention Research at the University of Sydney's Matilda Centre for Research in Mental Health and Substance Use.
So one of the commonest questions that parents have when they've got a young kid is, I don't want them to get into drugs. What the heck can I do? And they're terrified of it.
Well, that is a million-dollar question. I wish I had the exact answer. I do.
Well,
have...
it was nice of you to come on, and thank you very much. But see you again sometime.
I think the most important thing is for parents to know that they still have an influence over their children's choices when they become adolescents. In fact, they are the number one influence over their adolescents' choices at this age. There's a number of strategies...
So just before you go on there, I had thought that the evidence was that you're a strong influence in the preschool years, pretty strong in the early primary years, but as they get into upper primary, the peer group tends to dominate. So that's, yet again, I'm wrong?
Well, I held that view as well for a very long time, Norman. It's only recently that we've found that that actually isn't the case. So whilst it may appear and it may seem at the time that peers are the most important influence in your life, parents still have a critical role to play in their adolescents' health behaviours and choices.
So what is it? I mean, is this just saying we're going to set a limit here, you're not going to do this, that and the other? What is the behaviour of a parent that makes a difference?
Okay, so there's a number of things parents can do that we know can help reduce the uptake of substances from their teenagers. First is to model good behaviour. If your kids are coming home from school and you're there having a glass of wine every night or a beer, that's not a good look. Don't get drunk in front of your kids and have a good relationship with alcohol. The second one is monitor where they are. Ask your kids where they're going, ask them who they're going with, and ask them when they're going to get home. And finally, and probably most importantly, do not supply alcohol to your children. There was a traditional view that perhaps giving your kid a sip of alcohol or a taste here and there, a glass of wine at the dinner table.
Training them in a sense from good alcohol behaviour.
That's it, thinking that you might be protecting them then from later harms. But what the Australian research and also research in the US and Europe is starting to show is that giving a kid any alcohol at all is increasing their chance of binge drinking, and it's actually then increasing their chance of seeking alcohol elsewhere.
And is that because it's as simple as they get a taste for it, or is that because even a small amount of alcohol is affecting the developing brain?
Well, that's an interesting question as well. We do know that the adolescent brain is developing until it's 24, and some of our recent research is showing that perhaps the brain doesn't recover in a way that it could recover from having small amounts of alcohol at an early age.
Just to cap that off then, you've got to be self-aware. So even if you did like a glass of wine late in the afternoon, when you've got adolescent kids in the house, you just got to actually change your behaviour if you really don't want them to pick up a problem.
You do. So model like a positive attitude with alcohol. So say no occasionally to a glass of wine, or don't get your friends around and drink copious amounts of alcohol with them. Show them that there's other strategies for coping. Go for a walk, use exercise as strategies to cope with everyday stressful life.
And what about your style of parenting? Because again, out of date, but you know, if you look at the longitudinal studies in the United States, which look at predictors of good outcome in adolescence, which is first experience of sex as late as possible, first experience of drugs as late as possible, because that predicts a more healthy future for you, that the parent who gives that warm, loving, but firm boundary type parenting got a better result. Is that still true?
Well, it's true in the sense that if we can delay the onset of drinking, even by a year, we can reduce the chance of someone then developing a problem or a full-blown alcohol use disorder by 10% each year. So the more you can foster these good communication, loving homes, trying to stop someone from participating in drug taking and alcohol taking early on, the better chance they're going to have, and the less mental health problems, the less severe substance use disorder problems they will ever develop.
Have you run away from this parenting with firm boundaries?
Okay, so talking about different parenting styles, we're working with some researchers in the Netherlands who have led a lot of work in the area of parenting and alcohol use and how different parenting styles can affect alcohol use behaviours. And what they're showing is that you need to have strict rule setting. So even if you drink alcohol yourself or if you take drugs yourself, it's really important that you still have strict rule setting for your teenagers. And those rules are even more effective when you share them with other parents of teenagers the same age as your children.
And the other thing that parents get anxious about is the peer group that your child's mixing with and they're getting into bad company. How effective is the peer group in adolescence? You've said that parenting is really important. But again, if we're talking about the firmer style of parenting, setting rules, should you be setting rules about the people they can mix with? Very hard to do when they're adolescents.
You can absolutely try, and I think you should try, because we know that peer influence is the number one reason that kids themselves say that they start to use drugs. So yes, we know that parents can be influential in terms of all health behaviours and risky behaviours, but we know that kids still say that peer influence is the reason they use drugs.
So the bottom lines here are?
The bottom lines here are prevention can be effective. It can be cost effective. For every dollar we invest in prevention, we get an $18 return. That is huge when alcohol and other drug use costs Australian society over $10 billion a year.
So this is more than just parents and schools. This is, for example, the price of alcohol.
Absolutely. Yes.
Our alcohol is too cheap.
Our alcohol is too cheap. And policy-based prevention interventions are certainly effective, but they can take a long time to come into play. So whilst we're waiting for them to happen, and let's keep pushing that, let's increase taxes, let's reduce supply, but at the same time, let's put in effective parent and school-based prevention to reduce the significant burden of disease from alcohol and other drugs.
Associate Professor Nicola Newton is at the University of Sydney's Matilda Centre for Research in Mental Health and Substance Use. This has been the Health Report, and Tegan and I will see you next week.
See you then.